Yeah, for sure. And especially like a catcher, like can he play first base or could he potentially play third base? It's just going to make him more valuable because for us, he's not going to catch 55, 60 games.
Right.
He's going to catch maybe a half of those. And then your number two catcher is going to have a chance. And then potentially your number three catcher is going to catch a midweek game. So if you want to be able to keep his bat in the lineup, if he can play first, great. Could he play third? Great.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the world's favorite youth baseball podcast, Clearing the Bases, featuring Coach Jimmy Filangieri. I'm David Friedman. I want to thank you for coming along on this ride with us.
We need to go use our field hockey field. We need to go up and get on football. We had to go drive to the local high school in Boyle. We, in climate weather, we had to get in vans and load up and go 45 minutes south to a high school that had a turf infield. So we had to get really, really creative. And that was one of our, that's what made our season so great, is because our guys were used to that adversity.
You know, when we started this show about 3 years ago, one of my main concerns was, would we have the ability to attract guests that our listeners would find interesting? Another concern was, could we get guests, you know, that had the knowledge and the experience that would help people that are involved in youth baseball be the best that they can be? Well, I think time has shown us that my concerns were really unfounded, because as we release more and more of the shows that we recorded from the 2024 ABCA convention, you'll hear several familiar voices that have been on the show in the past. It is truly an honor to have so many guests sit down behind the microphone to catch up with us here at Clearing the Bases. Now, let's do some catching up with Taylor Valentine of Center College. We have a returning guest today. We have Taylor Valentine from Center College in Kentucky. We had, if you remember, we had him on last year. We tried to get him on at the convention, but things didn't work out. We got him on later. We did a Zoom call, and he had a lot of good stuff. And this is great because now I get to meet him in person. What's happening, Taylor?
Hey, Jimmy. It's good to see you, man. Excited I was able to finally see you in person and be able to do this in person.
Yeah, I mean, this is fantastic. This is one of the wonderful things about this convention is that, you know, guys like you, you know, we meet online. Zoom call is not really the same as meeting in person. And then you get to meet, like, buddies now.
That's right. And I'm glad. Hopefully you'll be able to send some of your Northeast guys down to Kentucky to us.
Oh, absolutely. You kidding? I'm going to be telling my guys, hey, this is where you want to be. So what's going on? Tell me what's new.
Yeah, things are good. Getting ready to start spring practice with our guys. We'll go back to fly back to Kentucky on Saturday. Start practice with our guys on Sunday, which is a little early considering for Division III. We're going to take an international trip with our team. We're going to go to Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, January 26th through the 30th. So we're just trying to make sure everybody's got passports and all that fun stuff. But our team's excited to get back, and we're looking forward to this season.
So that sounds pretty cool. So in other words, like a lot of college programs will go to Florida, you know, preseason. So this is, you're going to Dominican.
We are going to go to the Dominican Republic. We're going with a company called Score International. Former head coach Keith Madison oversees that organization. I've known Coach Madison for probably 9 years now. So this will actually be trip number five for me. Our pitching coach has been two or three times. So it'll be our second trip with our head coach. So we'll go down there. We'll play some games. We'll do some mission work. But it's going to be 87 degrees and sunny. So we're excited to get out of that. When we left Kentucky, it was like 19 degrees and we got snow coming Saturday.
I was going
to
say, see, that's a bad thing for you to tell me that. Okay, because I'm going to be flying out of here right into a snowstorm in the Northeast. And, you know, people on the show have heard me say a million times, I can't wait to get out of the Northeast. I hate the winters. And actually, what's even worse is spring baseball, because it's never really warm. So
that is true. Until we get about middle of March for us, it starts to get a little bit warmer. So we can start off at 87 and sunny and come back home and it's going to be 42 and open up. Hopefully our guys are tough enough to get ready to go play.
Yeah. So talk to me. What have you been seeing here? What, I mean, have you, you know, gone to some of the clinics? What are you doing here?
Yeah, the convention is always awesome. It's always great to see old faces that I haven't seen for a while, connect with new guys that we haven't met. The biggest thing is just building relationships and networking, I think, is superly important, especially for young coaches that come here and they see this for their first time. They're kind of shell-shocked. They're like, holy smokes, this is unbelievable. And then obviously, you know, going to the youth stage and listening to some of those coaches speak. Our head coach had the opportunity to speak this afternoon, which was really cool to be able to support him. But just being around bunch of baseball-minded guys, it is unbelievable. And just the late nights, and you're sitting down in the lobby, and you're talking and asking everybody, hey, how's your fall go? You know, how's this spring looks? And, you know, nobody really knows until they get about midway through the season. They're like, all right, yeah, we're going to be pretty good. But there's been some great speakers. Jay Johnson talked this morning, head coach at LSU. I think I took about a half page of notes from him. But at the end of the day, it's just awesome just seeing old faces and going out to the trade show. You walk in there, it's like Disneyland. Got all kinds of balls and bats and gloves and all these new inventions that are starting to take over our game. It's a truly special place if people have the opportunity to come here.
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned about young coaches coming and seeing, you know, how many people are actually here. As you know, my son is with me, and yesterday when we registered, he said, wow, I didn't expect this many people. And I was like, wait until tomorrow.
Yeah, when I walked in, our pitching coach, our whole staff is here, and our pitching coach and I, we walked out and got a coffee this morning, and we walked in, and, you know, first speaker wasn't going on until 9 o'clock, about 8:25. That place was filled up and packed and ready to go.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, and that's one of the I'll say bad things about me doing the show here is because I'm missing out on all of that. But, again, for people out there that don't know this, if you're an ABCA member, you get all of these videos online. You can go, and I can watch these things whenever I want. So it's really great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, tune back in, too, and go back in the office, and guys that I missed that I really wanted to hear speak, or I might have missed a note or whatever, just being able to pull up their page and going on the video and actually stopping it and writing down some notes. It's super awesome. It's a great resource, too, for even people that couldn't come. Like, I wasn't able to come last year, but I was still a member, so I was able to go back and watch all the videos that I needed to see. Which was great because I kind of felt like I was there somewhat, but yeah. I was kind of watching it on the screen. But obviously, if you can get in person, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, because again, you know, being here in person, you know, it's about the networking, the relationships, and, you know, just seeing people. I just walked into a meeting and I saw, you know, another coach that I had on the show last year. And, you know, it's almost like we never left each other. It was weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I just ran into a couple coaches that I haven't seen in years, and guys are getting new jobs, which is awesome, and just kind of hearing their story and their timeline on how they got hired, and just kind of what's new, barking up their new gig that they have going on is special. But then also meeting new people, too. It's all about who can you help bring to your program to help you, and how can you help somebody else. And at the end of the day, that's what this is all about.
That's what I really think that is one of the good things about baseball coaches, okay? We're all trying to help each other. There's not that, you know, I'm going to keep this under my vest. I don't want Taylor to know what I'm doing. It's like, hey, bud, you ever tried this before? And everybody's willing.
Yeah, it's so funny because it's like you hear guys talking at dinner and they're continually talk like, hey, this works for me. Maybe it'll work for you. And like the baseball community is so tight. It doesn't matter if you're NCAA Division I, Division II, Division III, junior college, high school, summer ball coach, youth coach. It's like it's all one brotherhood that is able to share information. And then you go to like a basketball clinic or a football clinic and nobody wants to share any of their information at all.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, somebody, I forgot who it was, that said the difference is that a baseball coach will write something on a napkin, you know, having a couple of beers with somebody, write it, and hand it to the other coach and say, take this, where a football coach will write it on a napkin, take the napkin, fold it up, and put it in his pocket.
Yeah, it's so funny, and it's great because you get to hear different stories from different guys and their journeys, and but it's funny. It's just... it's all one brotherhood no matter what level you're at, and I think this is probably one of the greatest things.
Yeah. Now, you had mentioned that the head coach, what's the head coach's name?
Yeah, Drew Breezy is our head baseball coach.
Okay, so Drew Breezy is the head coach at Center College in Kentucky. What did he present on?
He was on the youth stage, so he was just talking about practice planning, which I think, I mean, for us, we as college coaches take it for granted because – we think our guys are just going to look at it and then go. So during his speech today, you know, he talked about trying to get our schedule out at 12 o'clock to our guys. You know, they're all sitting around the lunch table. Hopefully they're reading their practice schedule. You know, and that way they have an idea to come. And I think for the youth coaches, like, just showing up and then trying to figure it out with your staff right before you get there can kind of be a little bit of a cluster. You know, time management is super big. Like, we have a practice window basically from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So we have to figure out what we're going to accomplish in 2 hours. And then obviously just different drills that we were able to talk about. He talked about the Japan infield drill, which is basically about a 15-minute segment, but it literally goes over like four corners. All right, infielder's glove side, infielder's backhand, and then outfielder's throw to second base, catcher throw down to second base. Like, it's unbelievable on how they run their series. And then also, too, it's like, if you have inclement weather, right? Like, we're in central Kentucky. There's high school coaches all around the country that are here that need to find space. And the biggest thing is not a lot of schools are able to get inside on a turf field, or they have to go inside on a gym floor, or they have to go, you know, he made a funny joke today about Steve Butler, who's a friend of ours that coached with USA that lives in Minnesota. And he's like, yeah, we're going to go back and take ground balls off the blacktop. If that works for your program, then that's how you need to be able to get it done. And then obviously just time management is the biggest thing that we see.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, again, you had mentioned, like, with the youth coaches, okay? So typically, youth coach has maybe, like, 12 players, right? So if they took a half hour to jot down a few things, practice plan doesn't have to be as elaborate as, say, it does for you or for me. You know, you guys are carrying, what, like 40 guys?
Yeah, we're about a 40-man roster going into this spring.
Okay, so my typical high school team, I was carrying about 25, okay? It's difficult because you got pitchers working, you got infielders working, you know, outfielders, catchers. There's base running that has to get done. There's a lot of stuff that has to get done. So as coaches, we have to be very detailed in our practice plan. But there's no reason why a youth coach shouldn't be able to jot down a few things to do with 12 players.
Yeah, for sure. And even when we do our practice, you know, our practice schedule for our staff, like if we know that we're in base running from 4:30 till 4:45, if we need to get something else done, we're not worried about what that looks like at 5 o'clock. If we need to go back and hit and spend a little extra time on it, we are. Like, we're held to a clock, but we're really not. If we don't get something done that day, okay, great. We have tomorrow that we can push something else out and add that in. But really, just having a plan going into practice. Number one, it shows your team, like, all right, we know what the heck we're doing.
Yeah.
Number two, it's like, we have a plan. And then the last thing is, too, is, like, hopefully they have an idea of, like, all right, we're going to get these three things done, accomplished today in practice. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And something that you said that I agree with 100% is that if you're working on something and, you know, maybe the players are not necessarily getting it, okay? Me, personally, I would rather spend more time on that, not get to something during practice, because what's the point in working on it? Let's say, okay, guys, well, you know what? We're only supposed to work on that for 10 minutes, so we have to move on to it. No, let's get this right, and we'll skip the next thing. We'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, especially, like, I mean, cuts and relays get overlooked all the time, but, like, for us, we go to a lot of different ballparks. So, like, our outfielders, I think, at practice are the guys that get overlooked the most, because you typically have a pitching coach, an infield coach, catching coach. Don't really have an outfield coach at a lot of levels, and those guys get overlooked. And our important thing is, like, we have to spend time with those guys. Like, we have to hit balls off the wall. And if you're on it, if we're going to a grass field, or if we're going to a turf field, is the warning track gravel? Is it turf? Like, what does that look like? And being able to spend time with those guys to help them adjust to what the playing surface is going to be is super crucial for us.
Yeah.
But we're never scared to stop the clock and say, all right, we got to go back and we have to redo this before we can move on. So,
very important.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, too, is at the youth level, what I think is important with practices is, you know, again, and I'm using, like, from the time they start playing till, say, you know, like 13, okay? Don't look at your practices like, oh, I have to work with my outfielders and then I have to work with. No. Work everybody out as an outfielder. Work everybody out as an infielder. They're young. You don't know where they're going to be.
Yeah, for sure. And especially with guys being able to, I mean, Jay Johnson had a perfect example this morning. You know, he had an outfielder that played for him for so many years, and he moved to second base, and the guy ended up being a draft pick. So it happens all the time, and I tell coach all the time, like, we like guys that are versatile, guys that can play infield, guys that can play outfield. If you can pitch, can you play a position? If you catch, can you play another position? Because at the end of the day, it's going to make you more valuable than if you're just singly locked, like, oh, I'm just a shortstop. Well, great. In our starting infield, I got four shortstops.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're 100% right. And look at it this way, okay? This is something else that I've talked to many people about, okay? Guys come up through high school, they're shortstops, okay? Shortstop on your team is usually your best athlete. Am I wrong?
No.
Okay. So he's playing high school, he's a shortstop. Well, Maybe he goes to LSU, where they have four other shortstops. Now what? So if you could play left field, center field, now your chances open up, right?
Yeah, for sure. And especially like a catcher, like can he play first base or could he potentially play third base? It's just going to make him more valuable because for us, he's not going to catch 55, 60 games.
Right.
He's going to catch maybe a half of those. And then your number two catcher is going to have a chance. And then potentially your number three catcher is going to catch a midweek game. So if you want to be able to keep his bat in the lineup, if he can play first, great. Could he play third? Great.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's all about, you know, moving them around. Again, at the younger ages, moving them around because you never know where they're going to wind up.
You don't. I mean, I was a college infielder. I played a couple years in the outfield, got moved back to the infield. So I had that versatility where myself as a player, it made me more valuable. And I think tell young guys, go play every position you can possibly play.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about the upcoming season. What do you think?
Yeah, we're excited about the 2024 season. We got a really good group in. Our schedule is tough, but we're hoping with getting wins and RPI rankings and hopefully it pushes into a regional because at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do. So we'll be at home to open up February 17th against Wilmington College. They're out of Ohio, so we're excited to play them. And then the following weekend, we'll play DePaul out of Indiana, and then Capital from Columbus, Ohio will be coming down. Then we throw in a midweek game against my alma mater, Asbury, and we'll play Transylvania in a midweek game. And we start conference play, and we hit the ground running. So we'll actually, when we start conference play, we'll be on the road for the first two weekends.
Wow.
So not being at home for the first two weekends conference play will be a good test for our guys. Because this senior class was the COVID class. So they haven't had the opportunity to go to all these ballparks yet. And now they're going to have the opportunity to go play some of these parks that they haven't been to, which are some hostile environments. I mean, it gets pretty rowdy when you go, when conference play turns on. I mean, the fans turn up, the student sections get a little bit crazy. But we're really excited about this season.
That's great. Now, you guys had a really good season last year, right?
We did. We had an awesome season. We broke the school record for wins. You know, our head coach got his 100th career win, which is awesome for that. You know, we just finished year two on a $6.5 million complex that we just built. So we actually, our pitching coach changed the passcode to get into the hitting facility, and he changed it to 23-18, and it was 28-13-23. That was our record. So our guys got to campus. They're like, Coach, the code's wrong. And we're like, no, the code just changed. And we're like, do you guys know what that means? We're like, no, we have no idea. Well, we were 28-13 in 2023. So that's where we put the code at. So we're hoping we kind of, for first team meetings, like, all right, we want to change that code every single year. But we're super excited. Obviously playing 24 home games, which is going to be nice for us. We don't have to get on the bus and travel everywhere we need to go. So we're excited.
Now, having that many home games, is that a product of having a new facility?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so this whole vision kind of started, you know, when we hired a new president. His son actually played baseball at Rhodes College, which is in our conference. And the vision was, is how can we upgrade facilities here to make this basically the best place in the Midwest to come play baseball? So our facility got done 2 years ago. It's got a locker room, clubhouse, player lounge, meeting space, indoor hitting facility. Field is all right there. It's basically a one-stop shop for our guys, and it's awesome for us. Because when it first got built, we were practicing at a lacrosse field. We were traveling to a high school field to go play. We were all over, and now that we can finally call this place home, it's great for us.
Well, man, that's really interesting. So you didn't have a field at all?
We didn't have a field. So the season was supposed to open up in February. We did not open up at home until March of 13th. So we were about close to 4 to 5 weeks in. We were on a bus every single weekend to go play.
Wow. And the reason why I'm really curious about that is because the high school where I am now coaching, we don't have a baseball field.
Yeah, it was challenging for us. When we found out that, I mean, they were where our old facility was at, the school raised $60 million to maybe basically put an athletic facility smack dab right where our baseball field is. So as soon as we got beat and season was done, I mean, there were cranes on that field 2 days later and stuff was getting moved out. They broke ground on our field pretty early, and we got back and field wasn't done, which we knew we were going to have to practice some other places. And then it just, the project, you know how it is with trying to get supplies in, and they're overseas, you can't get them shipped in. it was like a delay. And we got together as a staff and we're like, we got to figure this out. Like, all right, we need to go use our field hockey field. We need to go up and get on football. We had to go drive to the local high school in Boyle. We, in climate weather, we had to get in vans and load up and go 45 minutes south to a high school that had a turf infield. So we had to get really, really creative. And that was one of our, that's what made our season so great, is because our guys were used to that adversity of like, man, so what? We can't practice at the local high school. We got to drive 45 minutes. Okay, great. And that's why our season turned out the way that it did.
Yeah. I think I had said this on the show before with other guests, but one of the first questions that the AD asked me at Lourdes was, how are you with working with limited facilities? Because they don't have a field. And they have a beautiful turf football field, you know, multi-purpose, lacrosse, soccer. So I looked at him and I went, that's all I need.
That's it.
I said, that's it. I said, that's great. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, no, limited facilities does not, I don't need a full baseball field all the time.
Yeah, there's plenty of ways to get creative. Like, even when we had our old complex, like, our indoor space was very limited. But, like, we had to go inside our gymnasium and drop down the nets in our basketball arena to create a simulated long toss. You know, we had to do base running up top on the track. Like, we had to get really creative on how to do things. But at the end of the day, it just makes us, our guys understand, like, all right, we're not just baseball coaches. We are a lot more than what you guys get to see, right?
Yes.
And that's the hard part for them, is they don't get to see that part of, like, all right, what does the practice plan look like? All right, we got our pitchers are going to be in our, you know, field hockey field. Our infielders are going up to the basketball gym because we got to do base running. And our hitters are going to be down in our hitting facility with our head coach. And then in 30 minutes, we're all going to rotate and everybody's going to move. But, yeah, I mean, with the football field, you're great. You set up two nets and lay the bases out to 90 feet. I mean, dang, you can play a whole game there.
Yeah, yeah, and I figured it out is that, you know, we'll set up the diamond in one corner. Okay, so if I need center field and right field, I have it. And then if I need to work on left field also, then we just switch the diamond over the other side and I got it.
That's good. Yeah. So there's a lot of creative ways that you got to figure out. And everybody's like, oh, you know, college baseball, everybody's got what they need. And some schools are really blessed and some schools got to get super creative.
Yeah. But I, like you said, I think that it's good for the boys to understand that there is some creativity, so that when we say to them, hey, listen, you know, you're taking ground balls at third, you're taking ground balls at short, be creative. You know, don't be a robot. Be an athlete. Take a chance, you know?
Yeah, I work with our infielders at center, and there'll be, you know, we'll go through our basic instructs, like, hey, this is how I want you to field it or whatever. And then one time during the week, I called ESPN Day, and I make all the guys do unrealistic things that would probably never happen, but it might happen one time during the year, but you bet it that our guys are going to make that play. So they'll dive, they'll get up and spin move, while our infielders will come in and bounce it off the turf. And so it's one way to, number one, keep the enjoyment in them. But number two, all right, I got 30 minutes with you guys. All you're going to make is jump throws and diving plays, and let's just see what we get.
Right, and you could also, in that drill or doing that type of stuff with the players, you could also put in there how they recover from missing it.
Yes.
Okay, so you can throw something in there like that, which is great.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I tell our guys all the time, body language is key. It's like if we have a pro scout that's sitting in the stands and they watch you and you miss a ground ball and they happen to didn't see it, but they're just walking up, they should have no clue that you made that mistake. And that's the best thing that I love about recruiting is I like guys that fail a little bit when I'm on the road recruiting. And it's like, all right, you missed your ground ball. What do you look like? Is your head down in your glove? Are you saying some choice words in there? Or are you up like, all right, that's fine. Bring me the next ball and let's go. And yeah, I think that really tells a lot about who a player is.
Yeah, I think that we may have even discussed this when you were on last time, is that I tell my players basically the same thing, but I tell them, if a college recruiter is walking onto the field and you're pitching, he better not know whether you're throwing a no-hitter or you're getting shellacked. There should be no way that he knows either way.
And yeah, I think that's important. Like, they don't understand it until it actually happens.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, too. Like, and it's weird because, like, I don't understand, too. So my wife and our head coach's wife and our pitching coach's fiance, they kind of all sit down that third base line. And my wife came home. You know, as I first got hired at center, I had the opportunity to go coach third base. And my wife's like, you know that there's a bunch of parents that watch you, right? I'm like, why are they watching me? They need to be watching their kid. And they're like, they're watching how you act. Like, if something goes well, what do you like? If something goes bad, what do you show? And I really never realized that until I kind of went back and I was watching film, and I was like, all right, well, every time one of our guys strikes out, I turn around. Like, okay, mental note, Taylor, don't turn around when somebody strikes out. And that's the biggest thing. It's like they're watching coaches too, and they're also watching guys.
But how hard is that to do, right? We are human, and it's something that I know I struggle with. I've said this again a million times. I don't want my players to see any reaction. I don't want them to, but, man, is it hard to fight that.
It is hard. I mean, we are humans. We do get frustrated with our guys. At the end of the day, it's a game, and you're going to get beat, and you're going to win, and you're going to have fun, and there's going to be some long bus rides. But, yeah, I mean, real emotions are real emotions, and I'd rather have one of our guys have real emotions than fake the emotions.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, it's like you said. I mean, I'm a very big body language guy. So important. It's a big part of the game. And let's face it, everything that we teach in the game, really the intangibles are, my opinion, the intangibles are more important than the X's and O's.
100%. I mean, at the end of the day, like, this generation is so different. Even back when I was going, like, we would have coaches, like, crazy stuff. You can't do that to this generation anymore, which is okay. And us as coaches, we have to be able to adapt to that, because if we don't, then we're going to struggle.
Yes.
There's going to be some guys that, hey, that you need to put your arm around and give them a love. There's some guys that, hey, man, you're going to have to give them a little kick to, like, hey, let's get going here.
Yep.
And there's guys that you're going to have to walk by and literally not say a word to. And that's how it is, which is okay. And for me, it's hard, because if you have a good game or if you have a bad game, I'm still going to love you no matter what, right? Because at the end of the day, they're people, right? And as much as we want to have wins across our, you know, our record board or whatever, they're human beings and they're people, and we have to treat them like that. And there's not a lot of people that do that, because they're so worried about the wins and losses. But I tell people all the time, and I think I said this earlier on the podcast that we had, like, the greatest thing for me is getting a text about the first baby, or getting a wedding invite, or hey, you want to go play golf? Like, those are awesome for me. Like, I couldn't tell you what my first college record was back when I was coach. I had no idea.
No idea. I was just talking to Zach about that while we were walking up here. As I said, you know, my high school career, I said, I know that I'm over 500. I said, but that's all I know. I don't know what my record is. And then to your point, I said that when I got hired at Lord's, the best feeling in the world was when I posted it on Twitter. And kids that I coached 5-6 years ago were like, coach, thank you for everything you taught me, da-da-da-da-da. That's right. That's what it's about.
It is. And even, like, I mean, our jobs are so transparent, where guys take different jobs every year. Like, this is my third stop at center. And every stop that I've had the opportunity to be at, starting at Asbury and going to the University of Illinois Chicago and now at Center College, I got a congratulation. And it wasn't, and what level was that? It didn't matter to anybody. But at the end of the day, it just shows, like, all right, you're doing something that's pretty special. And the network that you've been able to build is super crucial. And obviously, the relationships. And I'm a big fan on relationships. And I never want to burn one at all, no matter what the scenario is. Because that person might get a job one day, or I might be getting a head coaching job one day, and I'm going to hire that person. Where back in 2000 and whatever, we had a little run-in. It's like, all right.
That is so true. I mean, and yeah, everything we do, we could sum everything up where it's all about the relationships. And, again, with baseball coaches, don't get me wrong, you have some of them that, you know, are what they are. But for the most part, I find that most baseball coaches are great, friendly people. Common theme lately has been, where I've talked to coaches about, and something that I just happen to notice, is that most, I don't want to say most, but a lot of successful coaches, high-level coaches, all have some type of religious, like, foundation, okay? And that just, I don't know why it jumped out at me, and I was like, wow, why is that?
Yeah, I mean, it is, and that's where my foundation is, too. It's like you're building a house, right? And if your foundation is not solid and you try to put up that first pillar, it's going to fall over. And we tell players all the time, too, like, I don't care what walk of life you came from, but your foundation has to be really, really good, because if it's not, you're going to struggle. And early on in my career, I didn't really realize that. And my foundation was like, all right, I'm just trying to find the, I'm just chasing the next best thing, the next best thing. And it was like, dude, just slow down and live in the present moment because you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I mean, and it has everything to do with what we were just talking about, the morals, the relationships, because they're all good people because they have that foundation. They don't have that foundation. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're not such nice people.
Yeah, and they're not. And I'll remember when we took our center team to the Dominican 4 years ago, and our guys were all kinds of different walks of life. But we walked into one of these orphanage villas, and I won't go too much into detail, but we had guys walking out of there in tears.
Yeah.
And it's like they don't really realize like how grateful they have it until they get back home here in the United States, and it's like, all right, if I want a hot dog, I can just go right down the street. Or if I want a McDonald's cheeseburger, I can go. If I want clean bottled water, I got it, right? And down there, they don't. And they're surviving through life, too. But it's like, I think our guys have a little bit more appreciation for life when they get to see that part of it. A
little dose of reality.
And it's like, holy smokes. Like, I didn't realize, like, how fortunate I am. And it also goes back to us serving when we're down there. Like, we'll take food into villages, and we'll go in the do a youth camp. And our guys are seeing that whole process of what that truly looks like. And I think that's why our guys shed some tears. It's just genuinely real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's real.
It's exactly. That's the right word. It's real. Well, listen, this was great. I mean, I'm happy that I got to see you in person. I'm happy that you sat down with us, and again, happy that you gave us good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I love talking all these things and just meeting new people. And like I said in the beginning, like, it was on a Zoom call, and it was through a text, and it was through a Twitter DM, and now here we are. And I think what you guys are doing too is by putting messages out. There's been some of my great friends that have been on these podcasts. And I think you're getting to share your story, and we're getting to share our story. And at the end of the day, if it hits with one person, great.
That's it, right. If we can change maybe one youth coach to understand, don't go out there and yell at kids. Put your arm around them and hug them. You know, and if we, like you said, if we get to one of them, then we all did our job.
That's it.
Great, Taylor. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jimmy.
It's a pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, there he is, Taylor Valentine. You know, Taylor, to me, is one of the rising stars in the college coaching ranks. Young guy, full of energy. You could hear it in his voice. And, you know, to be honest, I guess everybody's a young guy to me. But Taylor is just fantastic, and I really can't say enough about him. I know that he put out a lot of good information for everybody out there. So I hope you know, listen to what Taylor has to say. You know, again, like I always say, it's going to make you a better coach in the long run. So this has been episode number 3 that we recorded at the 2024 ABCA convention. And there's still a lot more to come. So, you know, I'm trying my best to pump these things out so everybody can hear what a wonderful experience it is being at the ABCA convention. I really can't hammer home enough the idea of going to abca.org and sign up. Why would you not? It's relatively inexpensive. And, I mean, if you really want to invest in your coaching future, there's really no better way to do it. So let's go out there. Let's sign up for the ABCA. Let's become a member. A lot of benefits, a lot of good people. And, you know, you can thank me later. So, with that being said, one of the things that you will learn if you are a member of the ABCA is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you on the next one.